Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Okay, so you're over 50 and you've been laid off or fired, and now you're back on the job hunt for the first time in years, maybe decades. What are you in for, and what are some things you can do to market yourself as you go up against job candidates that may be half your age? To talk about that, I'm joined by Tucker Mays, the co-author of the new book, Fired at 50, How to Overcome the Greatest Executive Job Search Challenge. He's also the co-founder of OptiMarkets with an extensive background in marketing management. Welcome to the program, Tucker.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael.
Well, is it a fact then that an employer will typically view an older worker, especially a potential new hire, as less attractive than candidates that are significantly younger?
Yes, that's true. And although recruiters and company hiring authorities will never admit that publicly, there has been a significant age bias in America for well over the last 20 years. As a matter of fact, for that reason and others, it takes those individuals well over a year and sometimes 2 years to find a job. It's often unfair, but it's definitely out there. It's why we wrote the book.
So how does an older worker generally sell their age as an asset to a prospective employer?
Well, there are several things they can do. First of all, in general, there are several things that they have learned over the years, and I'll just give you four that are usually in demand. The first is problem solving, and the fact that they're 50 or over, they've seen more problems. They've studied them. They figured out what are the best ways to solve them. So they have an advantage over those younger because they're able to come into a situation, decide very quickly what is wrong and what to do about it, and they're able to come up with a solution faster. Secondly, people management. They've worked with people. They've managed people. They've learned over time how to quickly assess who should stay, who should go, and how to make those who stay even better. Thirdly, they usually have greater judgment, which is so important today. And their experience allows them to make better decisions across a broad array of, you know, alternative courses of action. Mm-hmm. Who to hire, who to fire, where to cut, where to invest. You know, they're in a better position to do that. And lastly, if leadership is required, they've got an edge there. Leaders are not usually born. It's learned through time, and executives who've gone through this process have had the ability to learn how to be more decisive, evaluate options quickly, decide which ones are right, etc. So focusing on those four can usually be a good way of making their age an asset.
Now, certainly the experience, the work experience, and the wisdom garnered is important, but isn't a concern that employers have typically is when they look at an older worker, is that they're concerned that they may not have as much energy and time to invest in the job as a young person might?
It's absolutely correct. And of course, with all of these concerns, and we cite nine of them of why there is an age bias, there's always a way to overcome it. In terms of energy, you just absolutely have to come in the room with a great deal of enthusiasm. And secondly, cite examples in previous employment where you took on responsibilities that maybe others didn't want. You took on a project, a challenge that others thought was kind of tough, and show that you had the energy to do that. Explain how you work late. Talk about working on the weekends. All those things help to obviate the problem of energy loss.
I'm talking to Tucker Mays, the co-author of the new book, Fired at 50, How to Overcome the Greatest Executive Job Search Challenge. What about being technically savvy or technologically savvy? Are most older job seekers on top of their new technology skills, or is that something they really need to focus on?
I would say that many are, but many are not. And they absolutely must be fluent in Word and in Excel and PowerPoint, for example, because, you know, nobody really has secretaries anymore, particularly in the smaller companies where those over 50 have the greatest ability and opportunity to find a job. There are, Michael, 20 times as many companies in America under $100 million in sales than there are above. And that's where they should be looking. And those folks aren't as concerned that they're over 50 or they're out of work. They love the experience that they have. But they must be more conversant in particularly those three disciplines because they're not going to have anybody else to do them.
What about having a potential boss that's younger than yourself? That's something job seekers over 50 must contend with. Is there anything to keep in mind when facing a superior that may be from a younger generation?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. And they should, as in most cases, just bring up examples of whether they actually worked with a younger boss or worked with younger people as a part of their peers on certain projects and how effective they were in achieving results with them. And talk about how working with a younger boss, they actually helped that person go on to bigger and better things. It's better not to wait for a question about that. Always preempt it as a good salesperson does by talking about how you enjoyed working for a younger boss.
Is 50 too late to consider a career change? Do you suggest a person be open to a whole new path, or is it wiser to stick to what you know and find a new opportunity in the field you're most experienced in?
Good question. That is usually answered by what is going on in the industry you've spent most of your life in and the latest one you've been in. If there's great consolidation, if others that you know in their early 50s are not finding work there, then you really are compelled to leverage your skills and experience in another area. The best way to do that is to find out who from your industry left and where they went and how they went about getting that job. And then using what they learned, for example, what skills and experience did you have in your job that would be able to be transferred to another industry?
Now, you say a person's resume may actually do more harm to their likelihood of landing a job than good. What kinds of mistakes are older job seekers making on their resumes?
Well, one is, you know, if you're over 50, you really shouldn't show on your resume the age of the time when you went to college. Just sort of leave that blank and start when you had your first significant job after college. That has changed from 10 years ago when you didn't do that, but now everybody recommends, and we endorse that you don't. The reason you don't want to lead with a resume and really lead with a bio and say you're updating your resume is because it shows things like if you were with a company for a long time, which can be a negative, or it shows that you've been job hopping the last 10 years with only spending 2 years with a company or less. It shows that you might be easily dissatisfied. So in many ways, you should always leave with a bio, which doesn't include dates and doesn't show how long you've been with companies. It helps obviate some of those problems.
And shouldn't a job seeker to 50 change their appearance to appear more young, or younger, that is, in terms of coloring their hair, things of that type?
It depends on, you know, the job that you're going after. But certainly they should not be heavy. Secondly, their hair should be cut. If they're very gray, we know many people who have had their hair touched up, and that helps because there is such a bias. So we actually do recommend that they do things to make themselves look younger.
You know, just about a minute left, but you know, your title says the greatest executive job search challenge, and you talk about the executive networking process. Can you give me a sense of what that is?
Well, 80% of all jobs are gained through networking, and this 80% comes up again. And 80% of the time, networkers find their job through someone they did not know when they started their search. What does that mean, Mike? It means that they should spend 80% of their search day networking, and they should get through the people. This is counterintuitive, but they should meet with and talk with the people they know as soon as they can, recruiters they know, colleagues, friends, as soon as they know, because rarely do those people have jobs, and have them introduce them to people where the jobs are. And on average, there are 4 degrees of separation. Someone you know introduces you to 2, then a third, and then a fourth, and that's generally where the job is on average.
Tucker Mays, co-author of the new book, Fired at 50, How to Overcome the Greatest Executive Job Search Challenge. Thank you very much for joining me.
Well, you're welcome, and they can find our book on OptimarketLLC.com and learn a lot more about it and the chapters and introduction and all of that. Thanks for having me on your show.
Excellent. Thank you.